I just, I always love to come, and one of these times I'm going to have Pastor Danny speak after me, because he always uses a whole lot of what I was going to say, and that just says that we're hearing from the same God. And it just blesses me when that happens, truly. I tease about it, but it just blesses me. Because God wants us to know him. He wants us to know about him, certainly, which we have done. And I know you're a church that studies. I know you're a church that's in the Word. I know there's good teaching here. But let me share with you the things that he laid on my heart today, because that's what he did, and so that must be what he wants me to emphasize. So let's look at the 14th chapter of John. Now, Jesus was a very ordinary kind of man. He came in a body like you and me. And he was on this earth in such a way that a lot of people did not really understand who he was. And he had a lot of trouble explaining to them. I read the Word, and I know how he speaks to the Pharisees. And he tried to tell them who he was, and they could not understand him. They did not perceive what he was trying to say. And in this hour, when we have asked the Lord in our lives, we have the Holy Spirit to help us understand who Jesus is. And as Pastor said just a few moments ago, the Lord has been talking to me about the fact that he wants the body of Christ to move more and more in the Holy Spirit. We are here in a natural body, but our kingdom is an eternal kingdom in the Spirit. And we are to know how to walk in that spiritual realm. It's not woo-hoo, but it's knowing deep within that which God wants to use us for, how the Holy Spirit wants to move through us, because Jesus had a recognition of what God had called him to do, and you and I each have a task. I was just a little girl, and I don't know if I shared this with you before, but I remember the Lord told me subsequently, I was 7 and a half, and I was standing in the yard, and I didn't go to church on a regular basis, but some people took me, not to Sunday school, when Sunday schools are fine, but I remember when I was 4, being behind a pew like this, trying to see, and I saw Jesus walking with people, and the love that was there, I wanted to follow him too. And he told me later that that's when I accepted him. But at 7 and a half, I was in my parents' yard, and all of a sudden, I was way up high, and the earth was further out than I could see. And the Lord said, as I was looking and seeing people coming back and babies going down, he said, you go to the earth for a time to do something for me, and then you come back here. And when we get that understanding that we're in a fleshly body, which is made for our time here on earth, but we are a spiritual person with an assignment on the earth, when we realize that, it helps us to really focus on what God is trying to teach us. I feel so grieved at times when you meet children born out of wedlock, or people who feel like I was an accident. Maybe their parents told them they were an accident. But there are no accidents. There may be people that forgot to get married, but there are not accidents. And as Tom was saying, it breaks my heart to know so many of God's children never have fulfilled their purpose because someone decided they were inconvenient. But today we're going to deal with those of us that are here. And we have in the Word a pattern, the Lord was showing me, a pattern of development. Now, a lot of you have been taught, but you're going to be teaching, whether it's casually or formally. You're going to be sharing these truths, and God wants me to bring them out afresh to you today. In John 14, of course, he's talking about his getting ready to go to be with the Father. And he says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, if we pop down to verse 7, this is what the Lord has laid on my heart, this development of our Christian walk. And as you come alongside of younger Christians, recognize that they need to go through these steps of understanding who God is in them. In verse 7, Jesus says, if you had known me, now Thomas had asked him some question. He said, Lord, we know not whither you go or where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Okay, verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now, they didn't have any idea of seeing God. I mean, they're looking at Jesus. To them, he's a fleshly man, a great teacher, but they weren't all certain of his divinity. They didn't truly understand that Christ was containing the Spirit of Father God. You and I contain the Spirit of the Father God. It's a tremendous responsibility and a joy. And you know, God looks at us, he knows who we are, and he gives us of himself anyway. That is amazing to me sometimes. Just looking at myself, I think, God put his Son's Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, in me, the Spirit of the Father. And he lets me walk around on earth. He tells me what to do when I listen, but I can mess up too, just like all of us. It's wonderful that Jesus came to take care of the sin issue when we stumble and don't do things just the right way. Verse 7, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth, from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He's saying, you've seen me. Don't you realize you're seeing the Father? Don't you realize that who I am and how I am is the way the Father is? They were having trouble connecting the spiritual and the natural. And we who walk in these natural bodies are filled with that Spirit also, that Spirit of the Father. And we need to recognize that we are very responsible for what we do in our lives. I get so upset when I hear people say, I love God, but I sure don't want to go to church. You've heard that. All of us have. Because the flesh of somebody has offended them. I don't know any way we can help the fact that every once in a while, our flesh can be offensive. But if we realize when we run into someone who doesn't handle things well, we can realize they have a flesh problem. We need to pray for them, and we need to look to ourselves, because we can all get offended, we can all get wounded and hurt, and we can all misuse our walk with God. Not meaning to, but we also prove to others that Jesus isn't going to, or God isn't going to hit us, knock us out because we do something wrong. God deals with us, yes, but he also loves us so much that he picks us up when we stumble, puts us back on our feet, and gets us walking again. So if you've ever been in a place or know somebody in a place that says, I just can't be a Christian anymore. I just can't seem to do it. I'm not good enough. God isn't saying that. He's looking for the heart. Because man looks on the outward, but God always looks on the heart. And I've heard people say, I just can't be perfect enough. One of our sons said that. He couldn't feel that he was perfect enough until the Lord encountered him in a way that let him know that God loved him imperfections and all. Wants to change us when we step out of line. Wants to help us get it right. But he's not going to throw us out. He loves us so much. So Philip's having trouble seeing the Father. He's not understanding the spiritual realm. And Jesus says in verse 10, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. It's the Holy Spirit releasing the Father's words through us. We need to know that God has put in us something of him to share with others. A burden you have, an insight you have, a part of the love of God to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, to set free others. Maybe God will use you in deliverance. Maybe God will use you in teaching. Maybe he'll combine the things that he uses us for. But know that God wants to flow through us. And not any of us have everything in the sense that we all need one another. We are a body. My husband and I are very different in the way we look at things. And we laugh about it because God has made us a good team. And that's what we are. We're members of God's team. And because I do certain things and speak prophetically, Tom moves in other areas. We have seen some miraculous healings because of the compassion of his heart. And he is an encourager for many, many people. So know that God shows us different facets of what he's doing so we can help others know him better. So I want to know what's in you that will help me to see a little more of God, his mercy, his love, his caring, his power, because we all are a team. In verse 11, Jesus says, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I shall do, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He came on this earth to die for our sin. We all know that. The magnitude of what he did, the intensity of what he must have endured through that, we cannot imagine. We hurt when we see our child or a loved one do something that is not healthy and not good, when they come into some area of sin and pay the price for it. We hurt for them, but he hurt in ways that we cannot understand, taking the eternal weight of sin on himself. There's no way we can perceive of that. And yet he did it for us. He did it with joy to set the captives free. At one time or another in our lives, we've all been captive to misunderstanding God. And the Lord is wanting us to know that he's bringing a revelatory knowledge of himself to the body of Christ in the hours ahead that is going to enable the body to walk in areas of power we've not walked in before. He knows whom he can trust with what level of responsibility and power. And he will open doors for us to go places and do things, maybe just to the corner drugstore. He wants us out of the house and into the streets. Yes, we come together. We're built up. I like what a friend of ours who was the chaplain for a Major League Football team, and he said in his congregation, he said, this is the pep rally. The game is out there. And so we come together to encourage one another. We come together for prayer, to have our needs met. We come together with those who will understand when we say, I need some prayer because I am right in the, at the last end of my patience with such a situation. We need to hold one another up. Then we need to get out there and be there for those hungry, thirsty ones. And in the hour ahead, we're going, and now already, we're going to be able to recognize more and more those who are ready to meet the Lord, ready for that word that we have in us. I've prayed, and I just find it very exciting because of the prophetic. I say, God, I want to give words to people out in the street. My husband loves to meet somebody that he can pray for in a restaurant. Wherever we go, we want to carry that quickening in our hearts that is strong enough to enable us to understand, how do I approach that person that I see? We had a group at our congregation back home not too long ago, and they pray and they ask God, they call it the treasure hunt. They ask God, they get together, a group of young people, and they ask him, God, show us somebody that's ready to hear. And somebody will get a picture of maybe the dress, the kind of dress the person is in. Somebody else will say, well, I believe this man has a cast on his leg, et cetera, et cetera. And they go out and they have had a wonderful time meeting people and just saying, oh, it looks like you had a little problem with your leg. And of course, people are usually, if they're open, they'll tell you about their trauma. Well, we pray. Can we pray for you? And they pray. And they see things happen on the street. A couple of the young ladies from the group came to our congregation, and they said they sat at a Starbucks out in California where they were from at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to have a cup of tea, have a glass of tea, cup of coffee. Ended up sitting there till 10 o'clock at night because they started praying for people that came by. And people saw them and wanted to know what they were doing, and pretty soon they had a whole day's work ahead of them. God will make a way when we're hungry to do that. God wants us to be bold. You think, what if I make a mistake? You never made a mistake before. You walk away and say, okay, God, you know. Let's not let the enemy keep us from doing what God wants us to do. The power of God in the streets is what God is after. The knowledge of the Lord. You have more of God in you than you realize because you have him. And it says in another part of the scripture, don't worry when they take you before others. I will give you the words to speak. I will quicken you. And I'm finding that God does quicken us when we come into a situation which he has designed for us, where we can meet someone and, you know, it unfolds just as we go. And as we stay in that attitude of, I'm loving this, let me see what God wants to do next, and we're bold to speak out what he puts in our hearts, we're going to find that God will keep us so busy that we'll have to ask him for a little relaxation now and then. But the rewards that will be laid up in heaven, the souls that will come in, people are hungry and thirsty. We don't want to get into the politics stuff, but you know there's a lot of people out there that are scared, upset, worried. You know, people don't like to be scared, upset, and worried. They're looking for peace, and we have the Prince of Peace. We know that all the things that come into our lives work together for good in us. The hard places have made us seek God. The lonely places have made us seek God. The confusing places have made us seek God. So let's expect that God is using all those challenges to cause us to come into a new level of understanding of who he is, a new level of moving by the Spirit. It says here, just as Pastor Danny said a few moments ago, Jesus said in verse 13, whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I don't think he was indefinite. He's pretty clear there. We have a friend of ours, former Marine, who comes out and one of the things that he's really upset about is the fact that the young people in our day and age don't help the older folks out much. They are very busy with their things, and people aren't taught to help each other the way they were years ago. So one of the things he does, come over and does our lawn or something, and I'm kind of his mama, so in the spirit. So he'll come in with things in his heart, and one day he came in, and he said, and he sat down in the chair, and he said, "Jean," he said, and he was practically in tears. He's saying, "God was telling me, off and on all night, he's saying, my people have not because they ask not." And he's saying, we've got to ask. God is generous. God wants to give us. He wants to give us all that we need to do the works of the ministry. He wants to give us the ability to see and hear in the Spirit. He wants to give us the ability to know what to say to the lonely or brokenhearted. He wants to give us of his life to pour into those that are in the lost and dying world. And yes, if we need finances, he wants to give us the finances. He will bring it in the way we need. When we go out to travel, the Lord always tells us where we're supposed to be in contact and see if the door's open. I'll be honest, sometimes I hate to call people and say, "Can we come and see you?" But they don't refuse, so here we are. But we're wanting to share what we have, the little bit we have of the Lord, because when we share a little bit, he gives us a little bit more, and he gives us a little bit more. And we're willing to give and to help and to love others. And I'm amazed. Some people that I didn't like at first very much, but I know God loves each of his creatures, when I got to know them and to understand them and to see what they've been through, then my heart would break for them. And the Lord told me, don't look on the outward appearance. He says, you're never wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against powers and principalities of darkness. You're wrestling against people's the experiences that the enemy has caused in their lives to make them sometimes just not want to hear about me. But the Lord says, love overcomes evil. Love overcomes. So God will show us how to minister love, how to minister caring, how to minister that which will open the door for people to know that there's somebody out there that really cares about them, and ultimately that God cares about them. So expect God's going to challenge us. He is going to challenge us to grow up. And yes, there's going to be some hard times coming, but I tell you, God has enough grace for whatever comes up. I tell this story so often about a friend of ours who was in Hanoi prison camp for 7 years, in solitary almost all the time. Navy pilot, of course. He's in solitary, and he was the most tortured of all the prisoners. My husband and I were at the Navy base because that's where he worked, and he was in great position of responsibility we won't go into. But we're sitting there having lunch one day, and behind my back, I feel the presence of the Lord walk in that place. And I thought, whoa, turned around, and it was this man, Red McDaniel. And he sat down and had lunch with us that day, and because Tom knew him real well. And he just said, I said something about the presence of God coming in. And he said, every time they tortured me, Jesus was with me. He didn't come out a mental basket case. He came out with a sterling relationship with God that he wouldn't share for anything. Because through the hard places, that's where we grow in grace. We grow in power. We grow in knowledge of him. Red's still around. He's got a website. He didn't come out damaged and broken. He came out stronger as a person because of what he went through. Now, God knew who he was. He doesn't take us all through the same path. But for whatever we have to go through, he has more than enough grace. And he has all the comfort and strength. And he will cause us to grow. And we will be more and more influential for the building of his kingdom through because of what we've been through. Some of you have been through some hard places I've never been through. Know that God is with you in it. And you know it or you wouldn't be here. But God is with you in it. And he is going to bring you into greater and greater revelatory knowledge of who he is and how to walk with him. And also, every time you go through a hard place, you get victory over the enemy. And you can break his strongholds in other places. So ask the Lord to show you what you maybe haven't even realized you've learned. Get a little notebook and put down, God, what do I need to know out of what I've been through? And you'll find that God will show you things that you just kind of bypassed. Or, oh, yeah, that did. Yeah, now that does make sense. He'll give you some ammunition against the enemy. And you're going to find that the power of the Holy Spirit is always increasing because he wants the body of Christ to be strengthened. The body of Christ has a lot of people in it who do not even know that there's a Holy Spirit who dwells within them that wants to express the love of God where they are. There are many, many people. I was one of them. I was in very nice church for many, many years. But I never heard anything about God will speak to you. I just thought you tried to be good, and then when you died, you go to heaven. I was almost 40 years old before I ever knew that the Holy Spirit was alive in my life, would speak to me. And there's many people who are trying to walk with God, but they don't know there's more. So that's why God had wanted me to share this. There's more than we've had. There's more than any of us have had. And God wants us to grow in wisdom and knowledge and stature with him. So let's expect that, yeah, sometimes we don't like the lessons we go through, but some of the hardest lessons bring the greatest victory and joy when we get through them. So, Father, we thank you that you are always at work to will and to do with your good pleasure. You're growing us up into greater and greater expressions of your love. Father, stir us up. And for those of us who have become discouraged or weary, Father, breakthrough. I just speak breakthrough, that there will be a new understanding of the power and might and the joy that you have in your children. As we sang tonight, with the joy, because righteousness, peace, and joy come in the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, we want to walk in that righteousness. We are so grateful that you brought us peace with you and with ourselves. And the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Father, you have been known to make us laugh. We don't major on that very much. But Lord, you do. You created laughter. You created song. You created the wisdom that we can walk in all the aspects of who you are. So we thank you for that, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just... Hallelujah. The Lord says to tell you, he says, I am not displeased with any person in this room. I am going to unfold through each life more of who I am. By the power of my spirit, yes, but I am going to have experiences in the lives of each one that will open doors of understanding, curiosity, laughter, faith, peace, and all the attributes of my character as they walk with me, each one. And there is also the assurance that for those for whom you pray are being met by my Spirit. There are two people in this room who have been praying for spouses. And the Lord says, I am at work. Do not try to manipulate the work, but keep praying and rejoicing, because I am going to tear down walls of misunderstanding, walls of indifference. And in these two spouses, there will, within 6 months, be a turnaround, and there will be a knowledge that I, the Lord, have broken through. Be tender with them and do not try to pull them ahead of my schedule, for I am healing deep wounds. And there are many people in all of your circles of friends that have deep wounds, and those wounds are very, very tender. And the way in which I, the Holy Spirit, will break them loose is by the kindness and the patience that you have as a friend. And I will give vision and dreams. I will give words of knowledge. I will give whatever is needed to bring about the healing and the strengthening and the establishing of people through this group, yes, but beyond in the body of Christ. The age that you are in is called the church age. However, I say, I am bringing the Holy Spirit in such a measure that the individual walk with the Lord is going to be the hallmark of my people. You're going to see and know me in ways you have not, and each one will be able to share certain insights with others that the body of Christ can be built up. Many times in congregational services, there are going to be three or four speakers, not always with a long period of time, but differing ones sharing what has happened through the weeks, that there may be the understanding that it is a body-wide ministry. Favor shall come upon my people, favor by my Spirit. And even though man may not always desire or delight in having your company, there will be a curiosity. And I see people in coffee shops and restaurants talking about the Lord. And as they're doing that, the owner or somebody working there keeps walking by, and the people that are talking think they're really irritated at our staying here, but that isn't what it is. They're trying to find out what it is about you, because God has put a light on you and the power of the Spirit is all over you, and they're curious and they're trying to find out what makes you tick. Hallelujah. The light and the life of who I am will be so evident in people's lives that others will come and say, what is it that you have? And that has already happened to some of you, but it will more and more happen in the body of Christ, because discouragement and darkness are trying to come in upon the people on the earth. And there are many who are looking around and saying, times are getting harder and the burdens are getting the heavier. But I say to my people, you are carriers of life and light. Let not your heart be discouraged. And bring your burdens to me, yes. But when you are in places where I send you to be a light, recognize that and let the power of my Spirit flow. And let the joy of the Lord flow, because we will have our times in the closets where we can deal with the issues that are troubling your heart. And I will bring wisdom and understanding. For do I not know all? It is time, my people, to stand up and to know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has put upon you a robe of righteousness, given you the authority and power to overtake the enemy, and you will learn how to do it more completely as you walk with me through the challenges that I present.